The PK Podcast.
Hello. Welcome to the PK Podcast.
Welcome to the PK Podcast with your host. I am Juan Rodriguez and
I am Nicholas Rodriguez.
We are pastor and son, son and pastor.
Pastor and son. I'm the son. He's the pastor. He's my dad. I'm his kid. It's kind of like the PK, you get it, like a pastor's kid, like a pastor's kid podcast. That's kind of what this is.
That's right. This is where we talk about life, love, and
spirituality through the eyes of a pastor
and his son.
Woohoo!
This is episode number three. Whoa.
Might seem a little bit off the walls today. Might seem a little bit cuckoo, cuckoo. You know, my head's not fully screwed on straight today, but I am ready to talk about the serious things and go absolutely insane.
Well, I am glad that you are ready because we got to get this done.
Yeah, I'm as ready as.
So today's topic is love is blind.
I find it interesting that you introduced the topic, Dad. I'd like to know what you think we're going to be talking about today with love is blind.
Love is blind.
Okay. All right. Well, let me introduce to you what we're going to be kind of what's going on today.
All right. Share with me.
All right. And I think that my main thing is that I kind of want to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
And your genuine thoughts on it, too.
I only give genuine thoughts.
Okay. Cool. I just don't want you to say anything that's like, oh, well, maybe that's going to maybe people won't agree with that.
I don't worry about that kind of stuff.
I know. It's just that, you know, this might be a little bit more of a not a sensitive topic, but maybe more of like a, it gives you more of an opportunity to seem insensitive.
All right.
Depending on the thoughts that you have.
On.
Okay. So, as most people probably know out there, well, I won't say most, but it is pretty famous. I'm not sure if it's famous anymore, but it was famous around a certain time. It's a show called Love is Blind on Netflix. Okay. And Netflix puts out this show called Love is Blind. It's made by this dude and his wife. He was divorced, I think, to another woman, and this is his second wife.
Okay.
And they fell so deeply in love that they felt the need to help guide others to falling in love as well.
Oh, interesting.
So they wanted to essentially put the goal of their, because they've produced a bunch of shows.
All right.
Not a bunch. Two or three, but more than one, not just Love is Blind. And each point of each show is to put contestants or guests or whatever you want to call them, a group of people, men and women, and essentially putting them in an uncomfortable situation where they have to face their emotions and essentially wear their heart on their sleeve and be uncomfortable and be put in situations they would not regularly be put in, to essentially, I guess, kind of emulate going past that, like almost like speed running a relationship in a sense, where you already get to the heart of ways that you feel about things instead of, you know, just keeping it surface level and not really being sure, not really caring.
Right, like keeping a facade.
Right, exactly.
Wearing a mask.
So the biggest example of this kind of goal is Love is Blind, all right? Love is Blind is this. You get, I want to say 10 men and 10 women. Not 100% sure.
And I've never seen this show, so...
Yeah, so you're just going to have to believe me.
I know, that's kind of scary.
Well, no, I mean, that's the only thing I'm not sure of, though.
Okay.
So, 10 men, 10 women is what I think. I'm pretty sure it's 10 men and 10 women.
All right.
And you have the dudes, they're all in their own, like, cool little bachelor pad, and they all have their own rooms, they all work out, and they're all super cool and all that kind of stuff, right? And then you have the section, like, it's the bachelorette pad of all the women and all the ladies, and they all hang out, and they all do cool stuff, and they all do their own thing, and they all know each other, right? But the thing is that the women never get to see the men, and the men never get to see the women, okay? But every single day, at a certain point, contestants are scheduled to go into these little rooms, right? They're called the pods, all right?
Okay.
They go into these little rooms, and there's a sofa, and it's really nice and whatever. At the end of the room, there's a wall, okay?
Okay.
And on the other side of the wall is another room. That room is where the woman enters. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So they can hear each other clearly because there are microphones in the room and there are speakers in the other room and vice versa for them to be able to hear what they're saying very clearly.
All right.
But there's a wall in between them, so they can't see each other. They can only go off voice and what they're talking about.
All right, that sounds kind of funny.
Yes, and people, they bring in notes and they write stuff down, all that kind of stuff. And then they kind of get to decide at a certain point in the show who they see and when they see them, instead of being forced to go on dates with every single person in the thing.
Right, like the Bachelor and the Bachelorette type stuff.
Right. And it's interesting because as they continue to explore these relationships, you see a majority of the cast not show up anymore because none of them just made a connection. Okay. So you'll have some seasons where, like, only four of them don't show up anymore. We got some seasons where, like, more than half, like six of them, are not showing up in the show anymore.
All right.
And, you know, and there's tons of drama, right, because you have people that fall in love with two people at the same time. But the craziest part of this show to me is that you have people falling in love. Like, I think it's maybe 2 months, and these people fall in love with each other.
Really?
Yes, they... At least that's what they claim. You've got people talking about their crazy origins and their bloodstained backstories and all this kind of stuff. And you've got people crying. They're crying with each other on opposite sides of the wall. And they go, I think I love you. Right? And by the way, I watched this show with one of my closest friends, Ethan Davidson.
Cool.
And we used to be obsessed with this show. A new season came out. You know, since we're on other sides of the country, it's harder to, you know, keep track.
All right.
But we used to be roommates, so we used to watch the show together all the time, and we used to make fun of them because we thought it was hilarious. These people are insane, right?
And you by the way, it's 15 men and 15 women. I just looked it up because I want to make sure we got the facts straight.
Okay. So you got 15 men and 15 women.
Yes.
There you go. So, anyways, so all this kind of stuff, blah 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 blah. But here's the crazy part, mm-hmm. All right, Dad, and here's where I want your first kind of bit of input on it.
All right, I'm all over this.
Of whether or not you think that this is something that's good or something that is bad.
Gotcha. Before you ask me, I just want you to know that I am a professional matchmaker. I just want you to know that.
Well, this is why I wanted to ask you about this.
All right, cool.
And it's because, you know, you've done plenty of marriage counseling.
You've gotten
plenty of people together.
Yep.
You've done tons of stuff where it's like, you know, you kind of have a history with this kind of thing. Like, if anybody were to do this kind of show, were to run this kind of show of the people that I know, it would be you.
And actually, some people actually call me Master Matchmaker. I just wanted to say that.
Well,
I'll put it out there.
I didn't know about that.
In case you guys are interested in someone, I can help you.
Yeah, that is true. Unfortunately, I haven't had the pleasure of being matched with a beautiful woman, but I just haven't been. You know, you're not going to match me with someone you don't think I should be matched with,
and that's correct.
I don't think I've ever been interested in a woman that you think I should be matched with ever.
That's your loss.
That is my loss. It is quite the issue. But regardless of all of that. That's kind of why I want to get your opinion on this, because I feel like you would actually have like a perspective that matters, as opposed to someone who just doesn't really care about this kind of stuff.
Talk to me.
So once you've decided that you are in love with somebody, then you have the pleasure or the displeasure of having to decide whether or not you're going to propose to them.
In the show?
In the show.
Yep. Oh, my word.
And it's within the 2 or 3 month span that you have.
Oh, my goodness. Without seeing them,
even once. Yep. And the only way to move on to the next part of the show
is where you have to propose to them.
Is that you have to propose to them and get engaged to them. It's the only way you can move on to the next part of the show.
I guess that's okay, because, you know, I mean, they don't have to get married.
They don't have to get married, you're right, but you do have to get down on one knee and propose to them.
That's cool.
But and that's the only way you can even see them.
Gotcha, yeah, yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think that that is a healthy way to nudge? Because the whole thing is supposed to be an experiment, right? It's not really a game show. It's an experiment. It's just as entertaining as a game
show. It's a social and entertaining experiment.
Yes, exactly. Gotcha. So because, you know, you have these people that whether or not they're being 100% genuine of how they are.
Right.
Once you see people in any kind of scenario that's supposed to be this, like, weird controlled experiment type of thing, you're going to see some of the craziest people you've ever seen in your whole life, right? So they're going to be... That's why it's entertaining, you know? Because you have people that essentially, they just follow the same patterns over and over and over again in their relationships. That's why they're on the show.
Okay.
Is to break out of that pattern.
All right.
Right? So I actually applied to be on the show once. I thought I wanted to get on the show so bad, but then I think I actually ended up applying for a different show instead, and I didn't get on that show, unfortunately.
Oh.
But that's a completely different conversation. That the show Love is Blind, though, I wanted to apply to get on Love is Blind, and then I had this conversation with Ethan where I was like, I genuinely don't think I would end up getting to the second part of the show. I don't. Because I would be way too scared that I'm going to propose to a woman and then I'm going to see them and I'm going to think that they are the ugliest person on the face of the planet.
But hey, that's the opportunity to get out.
No, but can you imagine proposing to a woman you fall in love with, seeing her, thinking she's the most unattractive person you've ever seen, and then walking in the opposite direction and leaving the show? I would break that person.
Yeah, that person might get broken, but it's better than a eternity of not enjoying looking at your spouse.
Yeah, that is, while I do agree with that, I just don't think that I would, I don't think that I have the heart to break somebody like that.
Oh, okay. Well, I would for sure.
Well, yeah, I know that. But anyways, here's the next step, okay? Next step in the show. You propose to them. They say yes or no, and people have said no before, by the way. It's the funniest thing in the whole world.
Wow.
They say no, and then they don't even have the opportunity to see them.
Wow. I guess you can see them at the show, right?
Well, yeah, if you watch the show.
Right. Can you share, like, phone numbers or whatever stuff?
No.
No contact information?
No.
Nothing. Well, I'm sure they could find it somehow. We live in an age where you can find some people out there in the world.
Yeah, maybe. But you're kind of in a facility the entire time. So. Right.
So you can do it during the taping of the show.
Right, exactly. Gotcha. So you could... I'm going to get to a part where you'll see. You'll see.
I'm on pins and needles.
So in this second kind of... In the transition from the first part of the show into the second part of the show, you have all the people who actually proposed and said yes, right?
Yeah.
And then you have this hallway, and on either end of the hallway, there are two doors, and all you can see on the other side of the door is the silhouette, because they have a light shining on them, so you get to see their silhouette.
Okay.
And then you go, oh my gosh, I don't even know what this person looks like, and I'm already in love with them, and there's their silhouette, I have no idea what they look like, right? Then, the doors open. Uh-huh. There has not been a single time in the show yet where somebody has been like, oh, you are ugly. Which sucks, because I always thought it would have been the most entertaining thing on the face of the planet, but it's better for that person that they don't find them ugly, even though there has been somebody in the show that was like, you're not really my type. But I still love you. It's not that they think that they're ugly. It's just like, you don't match with the type, like, oh, I usually get with white girls, but you're a Latina, right?
Type of thing, right?
So they're not as attracted to them, you know, as they would be to the type that they usually go for. But that's kind of the whole point of the show, is to, you know, get you out of your comfort zone.
Right. Like, hey, I love you, but your forehead is way too big.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that hasn't happened. That kind of thing hasn't happened. It's purely a type thing. Like, oh, you're just not my type. You're not as attracted to the girls I usually get with. Blah, blah, blah.
All right, that's just what they say, but you're really meaning something else.
The same thing with, like, there was a girl who, she was, like, 30-something years old, and she got engaged to a dude who was, like, 20-something years old.
Okay.
And he was like, age doesn't matter, age doesn't matter. And she was like, I don't know, dude, because you don't even know how to pay your bills. And you live in an apartment with three dudes, so it's like, what are you doing? But But she usually goes for like the ripped, athletic, you know, the jock types, right? And this dude is like a 5'6" Hispanic guy. Right? So
poor guy.
So it's she loves him, but he is so far from being her type that it kind of started to dampen their relationship. But
sorry, Spanish man.
Exactly. Very sad, very sad. But anyways, point is that they have that part of the show. They go, they kiss, they hug, whatever, they talk. Best case scenario, they think that the other person is the most attractive person they've ever seen. Worst case, they think they're ugly and terrible, but that hasn't happened.
All right.
So then we take the contestants. We move them on to the second part of the show. This is the honeymoon part of the show.
These are the people who have already said yes to one another.
Yes.
Gotcha.
They send all the other people get sent back home. Bye.
Okay.
See ya.
All right.
And then, by the way, getting sent back home is getting sent back to, I'm pretty sure, the place where most of them are like, they get them from. They get them from the same area. So, like, one season was Atlanta. And, like, I'm pretty sure most of the cast actually lived in Atlanta.
Gotcha.
Like, that's where they got them from.
All right.
So, for the honeymoon part, boom, we send them off to, we send them to some beautiful island.
Oh.
And they're not allowed to have their phones or internet access.
All right.
For the entirety. So, like, there was one season you sent to Hawaii, you know, sent it to Peru. One season where they get sent to Louisiana, which I thought was funny for a honeymoon. Like,
hey, you can go gator hunting.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can go crazy in Louisiana. Like, you can have fun in Louisiana. There's Mardi Gras. You got, again, you can go gator hunting. You can get a big mudda humpa. But, you know, it's just funny compared to stuff like going to exotic or tropical places where you usually think is the kind of place for a honeymoon to take place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways, point is, they go to the honeymoon spot, and it's beautiful and it's amazing. And this is where you get to see now, you know, they're face-to-face interacting, living in a hotel together. So this is where all the problems start to arise, right? All the flaws, they start to rear their ugly heads here, right? There's a lot of drama, a lot of whatever.
Drama?
Yeah, there's a lot of drama because you have people that now, oh, but I want to go and do this over here. I want to go see the whales. Oh, well, I thought we were going to go hiking because we promised to go hiking. And she goes, you never listen to me. And he goes, what are you talking about? I love you. And she goes, no, you don't love me. And then she walks away and, you know, you got drama.
Oh, my word.
Because you have people that they're super immature, right? It's like, even if they don't see each other, even if they've let each other into each other's deepest, darkest secrets, you're not going to go and put your biggest flaws on display to a person you're not even seeing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're still putting on the best part of yourself because you want them to want you, right?
Right.
So except for the people who play the game right, you're supposed to be your 100% self. This
be
whole
honest.
Point of the walls.
Right.
You know? So anyways, with all that said, they go to the honeymoon. There's a ton of drama, all that kind of stuff. Some of them, you know, they work through it really well. You get to see others. There was this one couple that it was a white dude, and he had proposed with this black woman who her father never wanted her to be with a dude that isn't black.
Oh.
And so that was a huge thing because this dude is super white. I'm talking white, right?
Interesting.
So it was this huge conflict that happened, but it turned out working out super well. They're one of the people who they're still married to this day.
Cool.
And they have kids.
And her daddy's okay with him?
Yeah. Yeah, they even went into their house and recorded kind of like them eating dinner, and the dad and him are tight, and they all, you know, it's cool.
So in this honeymoon, it's like they're not necessarily in the same room together.
No, they are.
Oh, they are in the same room together.
Not all the couples, but the couples each get their own room.
Oh, the couples each get their own room.
Yes, not all the couples aren't all in the same room.
So the couples get their own room, but yes. They're not necessarily sleeping together.
Oh, they can.
They can, I understand that, but they don't, like,
they don't have to. There's two bedrooms in the thing, and some of the couples opt to not sleep together.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that in order for you to truly test this love thing, they shouldn't sleep together. Because sleeping together will cause all kinds of chemical stuff happening in the brain.
Right, the attachment.
That mixes real love.
Right.
Before the commitment part of it is done, which is the marriage.
There are some couples that they sleep in the same bed, but they don't do anything.
Okay.
What do you think about that? Do you think that it would
Well, you know, that's better than doing something.
Right, so. Right. Because then it just starts to... It only feeds into the honeymoon phase. It's actually usually those couples that... not all of them, but some a lot of those couples that just rush into the physical part of things are the ones that end up having problems because they're so head over heels for
exactly
that moment that it just kind of blinds them to any flaws that come up later on.
Yep.
But so that's kind of the second part of it, right? And then by the end of the second part of it, sometimes you have some people that leave. You have a dude who he never told the girl that he was with that he was bisexual.
Huh.
And he doesn't tell her until deep into the honeymoon thing. And she goes, why didn't you tell me? Like, you, when I asked you about this kind of stuff, you never said anything. Like, why weren't you open and honest with me? I was so open and honest with you. Like, why didn't you just tell me that? Like, now I don't know if there are other things that you take really seriously that I don't know about.
Because he wasn't honest. Now there's trust issues.
Yes. And so, and he starts to blame her. He gets mad at her, starts calling her like a bigot, essentially just for...
Oh, my word.
And then he leaves the show.
Too much drama for me, mama.
Oh, yeah. 100%. But it's also so funny because drama's hilarious.
Mm.
So, at least in TV shows.
Right.
So they go and they do that. So you have some people, they don't make it past the honeymoon part, right?
Right.
Now is the final phase.
Final phase.
The final phase is that all of them get sent back to their hometowns. So in this phase, the couples are given back their phones and the internet access.
Okay.
They go back to their jobs.
All right.
They see each other's current living situations and discuss what they want their living situation to be. You have some couples that they actually, things get really weird because some of them go, I'd rather us just live in our own places for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Like while they're married.
While they're married?
Yeah.
You mean they get married?
No. I'm saying like when they discuss what their living situation is going to be once they, because they're engaged, so they're assuming they're going to get married.
Right.
Even though some of them haven't fully decided yet, they go, well, if we get married, I think we should live in our own houses for a while.
Really?
Yeah. It's really weird.
That is really weird.
So you have all that kind of stuff going on. They see each other's apartments. Big thing is that they see each other's families.
Yeah.
They get to meet each other's families.
That's good.
And that's where a lot of new drama spurts up because you have some people that don't like them. You have some people who do like them.
Right.
You know, some of them don't approve of the marriage. Some of them don't approve of the way that the marriage is going through. Right. So, like, the fact that people are getting married in a game show, that alone makes it to where they don't trust.
Exactly.
Right. So, what do you think of that? Like, if, let's say I were on this show.
Okay.
And I went and I met this woman and I actually fell in love and I proposed to her and I went on the honeymoon thing. We worked out some problems, whatever. I come back, I introduce her to you. And I go, Dad, I'm actually in love with this girl.
All right.
Well, like, what are you thinking? Do you think I'm crazy? And then I tell you about the entire process of how it went. At this point, it's only been like 4 months, barely.
Right. So I would do a host of questions.
Okay.
To the both of you and see if you pass my love test.
What does your love test entail? I'm curious about some of the questions.
Well, my love test is just simply based on the pillars of marriage.
Okay.
And the one of the pillars is love. It's like the middle pillar.
Okay.
Very central pillar.
Right.
The other one
is pure love.
Yeah. Respect.
Mm.
And the other one is trust.
Mm.
So I would ask questions based on those pillars and see if you guys truly love each other. I would also ask you on your expectations of one another.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect from one another when you go into the marriage life?
Yeah.
And so all of those questions will sort of unravel the truth behind the love relationship that you guys are having.
Do you think that the answers alone would make it to where you trust or distrust the process? Like, if I answered all the questions and we answered all the questions and we turned out passing your love test, do you think part of you would still be like, this can't be legit? They're doing it through it's been 4 months. There's just no way this is going to work out.
Well, I can tell you this. My questions and my follow-up questions will always get down to the bottom of the truth of what you guys are thinking. Yeah. And sometimes within my counseling or premarital counseling sessions, people have broken up and gotten mad at each other.
Oh.
All I do is ask questions. The truth comes out and people either end up getting married and end up happy, or they end up breaking up because they weren't thinking about certain questions they'll be asked. And the grilling of Juan Rodriguez.
The grilling. You actually got to tell me those questions ever sometime so I can bring them on the show if I ever go on Love is Blind. So I can ask them while I'm in the pod section. But anyway, so they do that. They run through that process, right? A lot of them think they're crazy and all that kind of stuff. So you're saying that you wouldn't think I was crazy if we really did get down to the nitty gritty and it was good.
Well, like, no, I think in this era of dating, there are so many different ways of getting to know each other.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I think when you guys are at the point where you're really thinking seriously about your relationship, then we ask those questions and see how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Okay. So you so is the answer yes or no, I guess.
I wouldn't think that it's a weird thing, or I wouldn't doubt.
Just because it's like a Netflix show, you wouldn't think it's a weird thing.
I mean, I do think it's a weird thing.
Right, but you wouldn't think
don't
it's
think
impossible
it's a weird
to
thing that yeah, it's not impossible for you to fall in love with someone that you've been speaking to, and that after you see them, you're actually physically attracted to them.
Right, right.
So that's a good thing, and that if you stay honest and go on this engagement honeymoon, and you stay away from sexual, physical contact, you know, I think, you know, holding hands, whatever, that's fine, kissing, whatever. But I'm saying actually do.
Right, the deeper, the deed. Intimate, yeah,
exactly.
The intimate action.
I think that
you know what
will
I'm talking
cause
about.
Problems in being truthful with one another, because you've already mixed something in there that shouldn't happen until there's true commitment in marriage.
Yeah, because you will just be blinded essentially by.
Yep, by that that's why
love is blind.
Yeah, well, no, love is not blind at that point. At that point, lust is blind.
Oh my gosh! So, on to this next part of the show.
Basically. All right,
they're given their internet, they're given all this kind of stuff, and then there's this big part where. Sometimes they do it during the second part of the show. Sometimes they only do it during the third part of the show. But they bring all of the cast members back for a big party, like everyone that's been there. So we're talking about people who started relationships in the pod scenario and it didn't go through. People who got their hearts broken. You have people that finally get to see the guy that they might have turned down. They think he's super hot. That's happened before. The girl who was with the 5'4" Hispanic dude looked at the jock white guy that she missed out on that she turned down, and now she's super jealous trying to get with him at the party. You know what I mean? So it's this big thing. You have members that were there before that are see the women that they were flirting with before, and then they're going in and trying to talk and essentially get them off the show to be with them now, and sometimes it almost works. You have a lot of drama. People who see each other's types, they go, I like that type more. I'd rather be with you. You know, maybe we should swap, essentially, because now they're seeing them physically and they're more physically attracted to them. They align
right.
with their interests, right?
Right?
So that can cause a lot of drama as well.
Well, that's good, because then the person can see if that person really, really loves them,
right,
or
exactly.
they're just, you know,
it's a good test,
faking it to the end.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've always felt like that part, even though it's supposed to be like a celebration, like, oh, look at us, we're all back, we all hung out in the thing, we, you know, some of us never got to see each other, and now we can finally see each other and like talk like people, right?
Right.
But I've always felt that it was kind of masked as that, when in reality it was another test in and of itself.
Right.
Because you put everyone there that you have, essentially, you might have fallen in love with, right? Just as you did other people. And so now you have to reassess that, because now you're seeing them. Because before, you didn't even have to think about them. They weren't even in your life anymore. They're gone. But now they're here again. And you
right.
can see them, and you can do whatever you want with them, right? So it works as another test of temptation that I think is really important. And you have people that are like, you should completely rethink this. You know, just keep me in mind and all this kind of stuff.
So how long is the full process after the party? Or is that the end?
What do you mean?
So for the beginning to the party, yeah, how long is this process?
Like in terms of episodes?
No, in terms of time.
It's not even a year. A few months. 4 or 5 months.
So I think that's where the show kind of fails the people that are in it. Uh-huh. Because I believe, and this is also backed up by data, that it takes a full year for a person to truly show their true colors. Mm. And so after a year is when you start seeing the real person.
Yeah.
And I think that can be hidden in real life, and it can be hidden in a show like that. And that's why I think for the majority of the people, it fails them. Maybe there's a minority where they're being 100% genuine, and so it speeds up the process and good for them.
Right.
But still, for the majority of them, people aren't really real in a relationship until after a year has passed.
Well, it's also, what's it called? I think that that's part of the experiment process, too, is that it's so fast, and that's why you have so many people that think it's crazy. You see what I'm saying? Like, right, when people get the other person to meet their families, those people are like, what are you doing? It's been 3 months.
Right.
Like, you're insane. You don't even know who this person is.
Right.
But they claim that they do because they fell in love in the pods and they were so open and honest with each other.
Right. So that's the key, is the real openness and honesty.
And that's why the party is such a good not final test, right? Because there's still some more time after the party happens. But it's a good, pretty much final test in the sense of, like, this is the last threshold you have to pass. And it's the hardest one because not even a year has passed and you're already being faced with people that you might have felt just as connected to at one point in time as you feel connected to the person you're with now.
Right.
Not to mention, you might be more attracted to them physically than the person you're with now.
Right.
So that is like, that is a next level test, especially when you have such a short amount of time that's passed. And I think that it can cull out a lot of the fakes.
Right.
You know what I mean? So after that, you have the wedding. The wedding. Back-to-back weddings of every single couple that's made it to the end. Okay?
And, like, they plan their wedding? Or this is, oh, like, yeah, done, oh, yeah, on TV?
They plan it.
But the wedding is not planned by the network. They plan it and then they just film it.
They can choose to have it. That you've had some that they plan it, and then there are some that it's planned by the network at a location where they send it.
Okay,
But I'm pretty sure the priest is almost always, unless requested by one of them. I think one of them has requested for their father to be the priest before.
Gotcha.
But sometimes mostly they'll just provide, like, a dude that they already have or a woman they already have as well.
Gotcha.
And so, anyways, and then, you know, you also have different cultures, right? So you have somebody who's Indian, they have a more Indian style wedding, right, you know, they have all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So they go, they get married, and the big thing is that everybody who's made it to the end of the show, regardless if they've decided that they don't want to be with them anymore or not, they have to go to the wedding and say yes or no when they say, do you take their hand? So it's expected, actually, because usually when you go to a marriage, a wedding, you expect them both to say, I do, right?
Right.
But the whole thing about this scenario is that it's been such a short amount of time that the I do or I don't is kind of, it's presented more as like when the judges of a game show say, you made it to the next test, you made it to the next thing, you know, in like the Food Network.
Right.
When they're judging their meals,
yeah,
it's kind of more like that. They do that thing where the camera angles move over and over again. The music goes dun 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 dun, because you don't know if they're gonna say I do or I don't.
Okay,
right. Some of them say I don't. It goes absolutely horrible. There's huge drama. Everyone cries. Both of their families are there, which means that the whole family gets mad. They attack the other person, you know, because they broke their baby girl's heart.
They have broken up before the wedding?
They could have. But
they just want to go all the way to the end, so maybe they can boost up their visibility or their
brand,
so they can become a
famous
part of another show,
yeah,
or
that,
a famous person on social media and all that junk.
Which somebody has done that before.
Yeah,
but
that's
another,
why it's all fake. Those people, some of those people are fake.
Yes,
all the time.
You're 100% right. And
fake.
One dude got kicked off the show because he was doing it purely for that, and he was just pretending to be this really interesting, crazy guy who had a bunch of like religious knowledge or some crap, and like traveled all over the world. He was like enlightened. He got kicked off the show because they realized that he was just joking the entire time.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that are like that, too, that will be on shows just for that reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, this again, even though, yes, it's still a reality show, leans a little bit more off of the crazy, overdramatic, extreme type of people.
To make entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
To have people like you watch it.
Exactly. So, what's it called? So you have all this stuff that goes crazy, but a lot of people, the reason why they go to the end, most people actually, isn't to promote their visibility or their brand like it would be on other reality shows like Too Hot to Handle or The Bachelorette or The Bachelor or whatever. They do it because they genuinely, some of these people are not sure if they want to get married.
Okay.
And so they wait until they're at the, what's it called?
Wedding?
No, not the when you're at the left, the altar. They wait until they're at the altar to decide because they're like, I still don't know. Like,
so
I still don't know.
So this is their wedding?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that person's a moron.
That's exactly what I'm saying. But, Dad, would you believe it that regardless of how much time they have on this show and how much you see these relationships grow, I would go as far as to say that a majority of these guests actually don't know whether or not, or don't think about the consequences of getting married to someone until the day of the wedding, when they're talking to all of their groomsmen or all of their bridesmaids, and they're talking to all of them, talking to their family, and they go, if I'm being honest with you, I don't know what I'm gonna say until I'm at the altar. I feel like I still don't know because I don't know what the consequences are or if I should even get married.
That's where I question everything.
What do you mean?
That's where I question everything. I'm sorry. They know.
No. But this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, Dad, is that in a sense, they know because they don't know. The fact that you don't know means that, okay, then you shouldn't get married, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is something you should be sure of.
Yep.
Not just that, but also a lot of these people on the show, the whole reason they're on the show is because they have been following the same pattern and they want to exit that pattern, right? But what a lot of them do is that they fail to exit that pattern anyways by the end of the show because they're just completely living in what's happening at that moment. Great honeymoon, got to meet their family, fantastic, without actually thinking about the repercussions of marriage.
So then someone, a good friend or something like that, needs to come into their house, look at them in the face, slap them upside the head and say, wake up. This is your decision right now before you go to the altar.
A lot of them do. And then that is where that's when they go, you understand what you're doing, right? You understand that this is actually a big deal. This isn't just like the rest of the show. This is actually getting married to someone and creating a life with them. Like, not just spiritually, not just spiritual and emotional commitment, but legal commitment.
Yeah, come out,
right,
of your la-la land.
Exactly. But this is what I'm saying, is that it's only at that point in the show that you see a lot of these contestants, their eyes, it's like their eyes widen and they go, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
Right. And so at that point, they should take about a couple of hours to really think about it before they go to the altar.
And they do. That's why you have a lot of times where it's like, you know, I was supposed to, they interview the wife or they interview the husband and they're like, you know, I was supposed to be at the altar like a half an hour ago, but I'm still waiting on my spouse, my to-be spouse, because apparently they're going through it right now and they're deciding whether or not they're even going to come. So that's what I'm saying.
Too much drama for me, mama.
Yeah, but it's so funny. So here's the thing. You have all that go through. You have the people who you have say no. You have the people who say yes.
Okay.
And that's the end of the show.
Thank goodness.
Right? But then you wait 2 years, and you have the 2 years after
section. They have that on the show?
Yep. After 2 years of the recording of the show, they released the 2 years after episode. And you get to see where everybody is at then and there. Every single cast member. Not just
the people who got married,
but everybody.
Okay.
Okay. And they all go to a party and they all hang out. We all get to see their lives. You get to see the people who are married. You get to see the people who are in relationships but not married. Like, there are couples that they'll say no at the altar and then they'll continue to date afterwards after the show.
Oh, that's good.
Right? But a lot of the times it'll be really toxic, right? Mm. And you have the ones that are good. You have the one, like, there's still, there's a relationship from one of the seasons of Love is Blind that they fell in love. They decided not to get married at the altar. It hurt, but they the wife understood why he had made that decision.
They pre-planned the whole thing.
And they're still, bro.
Pre-planned.
This is not, it's not pre-planned, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean the two of them talk to each other? Oh, yeah. No, I understand that. But pre-planned, I think of scripted. But that makes more sense. Because that's what I always talk to Ethan about. I was like, there's no way that these dudes don't have conversations about saying, let's just not get married and date as the show continues because I don't know if I'm ready to get married yet.
Exactly.
But a lot of them have difficulty communicating that because then whoever is the other person that's their fiancé, sometimes they go, I'm sure, and you're not, and that hurts. And so it hurts them. They go, if you're not ready to marry me, then I'm not going to be with you because I'm ready to marry you, right?
Right.
So then that creates a whole other drama in and of itself. Point is, you have a 2 years later. You get to see people that they're married. They have kids. They've been married for 2 years. It's amazing. It's beautiful. You get to see people that broken up. You get to see people in relationships that are going good. You get to see people in relationships that are going bad. You see them break up on the show. That's the more Bachelor part of the show where everything's more dramatic.
Right.
Instead of the actual, process of the show taking place.
Right.
But, and then that is the end of the show, Love is Blind. That is the end. That is how a season ends.
Well, the good thing about this podcast is that since you've shared with me all of this stuff,
yeah,
I am so happy that I will never watch this show because it would be a total waste of my time.
What are you talking about? I feel like the experiment in and of itself is something that's really interesting.
Yeah, maybe the first half, but after that, it's all bogus probably.
What do you mean after the first half is what?
Yeah, I don't know. I have my doubt to the whole thing, really, to be honest with you.
But what is the first half? What do you define as the first half?
They don't know each other. They don't see each other yet.
In the pods.
Yes.
And you think that everything in the honeymoon is fake?
I think everything in the honeymoon, they just start to talk to each other and they kind of make a plan of what's going to happen in the future already.
I'm just saying.
That's what I think.
Well, because I feel like you're thinking with the mind of someone who's thinking. But we're talking about people that have completely relinquished themselves to this process. Talking about people that aren't thinking. We're talking about people that are just letting the experiment take place.
I guess for the great minority, you could be right. But the majority, I don't know. But
yeah,
hey,
I
could talk.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that I think you're giving them too much credit. I think you're making them out to be smarter than they actually are.
Maybe.
Because the people who go on the show are not the kind of people who are good at communicating in relationships. The whole point is that they suck.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, as someone who has seen almost every season of the show,
Love is Blind, baby.
And I never believe any reality shows that I watch. I found this experiment very interesting because I what I wanted to find out was, let me ask this final question because I feel like I still need to get the answer to this question.
Gotcha. Before you ask it, though, I think that Netflix needs to give us some royalties for doing like a whole episode on this show because people will listen to this and be like, oh, I have to go watch that show.
Yeah, but the thing is that we're not giving it like praises. We're not being like, it's a really cool show. I love this show. It's the best show ever.
Right.
Like,
yeah, but still, people will want to watch it because of this.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, sure.
It's called Netflix. Maybe we can get some money. Maybe we can get sponsorship.
Oh, yeah, sponsorship for our final season?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. We'll make tons of money on one episode. But anyways, so this is the final question that I have to ask. Regardless of, you know, what you believe of what they might be planning behind closed doors or whatever.
Yes, talk to me.
the idea of the experiment from beginning to end, the entire process that I just explained to you. You still remember the process, right?
Yes, I remember the process. Okay,
with the entire process that I explained to you, do you think that this is something that is not only possible, but something that is good for people who find themselves in the same toxic patterns of romantic relationships?
I think that it's a good thing for people who take it serious and are real and genuine. So I think it's good for that. And I think that the process is good for people like that. I think it's just entertainment for the rest of them who are trying to create this as a catalyst for their
careers
on social media or TV or whatever.
But see, I just feel like Love is Blind is the worst show to do that on, because none of them have gained fame from other shows on this. If it was The Bachelor or something, they literally get old Bachelorette and Bachelors to go on other dating shows all the time because they're so entertaining and dramatic.
Right.
So it's like, that's the reason why they're doing it. Love is Blind, they never do that.
I understand, but some people still will want to use it for that. So they'll use whatever show.
Which we've seen. Which I told you before, there was a guy who did try to do that.
Yeah.
But regardless of all that, so you think...
If they're being honest
that this process is actually good.
Through the whole process.
You actually think it's good.
The process for them, I think it's a good process.
Okay.
But I would not be in this show, for example, if I was single.
Right.
Because I just wouldn't want to do that. I have to see the person.
So let's say this entire experiment was run. Let's say you were in charge of the experiment.
Oh, yeah.
And none of it's being recorded.
None of it.
It's not a show.
Love it. It's
You're just running
show.
An experiment. You're just running doing it for the sake of doing it.
Love experiment.
A social experiment purely for the sake of helping other people find love. And working your matchmaking magic.
That's right, baby.
What would you change about the process, if anything?
I would not send them off to an engagement weekend, having them be together in the same bed. In fact, sex would be completely prohibited.
So, but here's my question then, because I feel like then it becomes too controlled. Because if you make it too controlled, then... Yes, you. So what you're saying is that what you would want to do is do the best thing to make them actually fall in love rather than make them fall in love with each other by their own terms.
No, I would have to say that the healthiest relationship are the ones that are based on a biblical foundation.
Right, right.
And henceforth, if they don't have sex before marriage, they have a greater opportunity to truly fall in love with each other
and not mix
physical affection with real love.
Right. And I understand that. But what I'm saying is that by putting him in the same room in the show, they are able to make their own decision of whether or not they do it.
Well,
and then you're able to see the true colors earlier.
By putting them in the same room, you're increasing the opportunity.
Yeah, temptation.
Exactly.
Yes,
so
it's temptation.
That's what I would take out, because that doesn't make sense. Because I already know, as a psychologist, amateur counselor,
uh-huh.
which I have counseled many people, I already know, and it's proven in a bunch of data that when that happens, it screws up the relationship for the future.
Right. So what I'm saying is that...
I'm trying to help them. That's what I would take out.
And that is exactly what I'm saying, is that you're throwing them a bone. That's what I'm saying that the show doesn't do, is that the show makes them be put in tough scenarios where they have to go out of their way to make the decision to do the right thing to maintain the relationship.
Yeah, but human beings aren't going to... Dude.
That's the point of an experiment, Dad. That's what I'm saying, is that that's...
Yeah, but everyone with half a brain knows that if you stick me in the same room with a girl, things are most likely going to happen.
Yes.
So you remove that temptation and you base it on honest conversations and spending time together and having fun together, getting to know each other, and you remove that thing, which can cause more drama and can cause more pain in the long run. And if you do that, then there's greater chances of this being a healthier relationship and not a toxic relationship. If you guys are going to do it, you're going to end up doing it no matter if I put you in a room or not. And that's your choice. But I'm removing this unhealthy temptation to help you and the relationship in the long run.
And what I'm saying is that that is the difference between an experiment and an actual counseling or mentorship. Is that you in this, you're actually helping them. And the point of the show isn't to help them. So what you would do is actually help them.
The point of the show is entertainment. So you can't take that out and not continue to entertain the people that are watching. That's the point of the show. The experiment is something that you are choosing the boundaries for the experiment. So the person that is doing the experiment is the person who chooses the boundaries. So the people who have this experiment going on, their boundaries are no boundaries as the show continues, because it wouldn't be entertaining to the masses. So that's the underlying motive from my understanding.
And your experiment would be to help them, correct?
My experiment would be to give them the greatest chance at a healthy relationship.
And that is exactly what I've been saying for the past maybe 5 minutes.
Maybe you've been saying that. I don't know.
I would go as far as to say that that's definitely what I've been saying, considering all I said was that your experiment is more of a controlled experiment where you're actually trying to help them, like a mentorship or a counseling from the shadows, while in comparison to their experiment, where their experiment is to just throw them in a sandbox and see what they do, hoping that they make the best decisions in uncomfortable scenarios. That's the difference.
Yes, but I think that mine is still better.
That's the point of the question. That's why I asked you, what would you change? I'm not saying that theirs is better or yours isn't better. I'm just saying that that is the difference between yours and theirs.
Yes.
Is that yours is a mentorship, actually attempting to help them and give them the best shot, throwing them as many bones as possible.
That's what I would change.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, guys, there's a solid 6 minutes extra to the podcast just for me trying to explain something that might have been a little bit simple. But, you know, maybe you guys can be the judge. Maybe I'm the idiot, guys. Maybe leave a review. Make it 5 stars regardless. But you leave a review, make it a 5-star review, and say in the review, honestly, everything Nico was saying made no sense, and I understand exactly why Juan kept on saying what he was saying, because Nico sounded schizophrenic, borderline. Or maybe you can say the other one. I'd like that. I'd read those. That'd be kind of funny.
Last question.
Oh.
Are you going to apply for the show?
No. Again, I would. All I would be thinking about the entire time while talking to them is, man, I'm going to have to stop myself from falling in love with this person, because the risk of them being ugly is not worth it.
Mm. Okay.
It's just not worth it. And I wouldn't be able to find out beforehand. That's the worst part, because the show's not out. I can't watch the episodes of the show and find out what they look like. And I'm also not going to get in the pod and ask them,
so how tall are you? So what's your hair like? So how many pounds do you weigh? So are your teeth?
But the thing is that the one guy who actually did do that on the show, you know what happened to him?
What happened?
None of the girls wanted him.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess he didn't make the cut.
Well, actually, there was one girl who wanted him.
There you go.
But they ended up breaking up. It was really, really bad.
There you go.
So, there you go, guys. There's Love is Blind. I hope that not only that you gained the desire to watch this funny show whenever you got the time, but mainly I just hope that you were able to gain something, maybe some perspective when it comes to relationships, the process, the different ways to do it, whether or not it's healthy, you know, especially coming from my dad, who I believe to be a wise relationship man. And so I hope that you gained something from that. Maybe you gained something from the process of the show too, or just our general, maybe even seemingly pointless little conversation bits that we would have now and then. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had to say, man.
So remember, love is not blind if it's based on healthy relationships.
Love can be blind, but you can choose to see.
Therefore, open your eyes and see.
Yes. And with that, I'd like to say that God made you special.
And he loves you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.